This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm still very interested in the Pain Volleyball mixtape. I need to get my ears on that. But that aside, let's focus on what you need to focus on, which is In the Loop. We are indeed going.
You need to focus on
off
In the
and
Loop.
Running, off and running, yeah. On a Wednesday. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Natula, all back in studio.
How about that?
All right. Shout out to Texas Star Grill Shots for having us there yesterday. It was fun, Sean. I appreciate that. But it's nice to be in the friendly confines of the studio where I have more screens than I know what to do with.
A little spooky in here. I need to raise the lights.
I did notice that it was dark in here. Why is that? What happened here? That's weird. But also,
Sean and Seth were in their
The show people.
They were in their Halloween spirit.
No. I blame the night guys for that. They dimmed those lights.
They do that. Yes, they
dimmed the lights.
Mood lighting.
Mood lighting.
I like that. Yeah, and our guy Adam Spillane was in last night as well with Sean Bajani. He'll join us at 10:40 as it's opening day for the Rockets at Toyota Center versus the Hornets. I'm excited to get out there, see what's popping with the team, and we'll talk a little bit about that with Spo, including you and. Later in the show, we also you have another hot take. You just full of takes.
I'm full of hot takes today. Piping hot.
Okay, I don't like the way that sounds for some reason. And that's a me thing. That's less about like that is a statement that is valid that you could say. Fig, it's good to be able to see you. I like. Hopefully, we can get you more involved in this program than we did last week. Yesterday, rather. I feel like I did not do enough of that.
Oh, no, it's good. It's always difficult when somebody's on remote and I'm back here because you got the echoes and y'all can't see if I'm trying to say something and all that stuff. So y'all did a good job, man.
I appreciate that. I don't know if you're just being nice, but I do appreciate it. What I also appreciate, you got the piping hot takes from Lopez, but you also have like a feeling of fear of missing out, like a FOMO.
Yeah, that old FOMO thing. I woke up this morning and I saw the DeAndre Hopkins news, which on by itself is like, okay, well, he's not quite the player he was. But the fact that
that's where your brain went first.
But the fact that he went to the Chiefs, you know, is kind of like, we'll see what happens.
Right,
Astros with a middling pitcher. Oh my gosh, he's going to go 8 straight with without giving up. You know,
like more. The Astros getting cranky.
Yeah.
Right,
getting one of those things. But I got a little FOMO work in here, and it's a combination of what we saw from the Texans on Sunday.
Yeah, that doesn't help, right?
Like, right.
If the Texans play well, acquit themselves well against the Packers, hell, maybe if the Texans even just win, even if they play the same game, but they have, like, let's say that snap is fumbled on the final field goal and they end up winning. Maybe these things are a little bit easier to stomach. But yeah, that as a backdrop does not help. I feel like we have, particularly on the show, been a lot more negative than I anticipated. And a lot of it, I think, is well-placed because this team is not found their groove in the way that we've been calling for and clamoring for. But yeah, that does not help as a general mood setter.
Yeah. And it's a little weird because, the Texans certainly do not need a receiver. But, you know, you look at the breadth of everything going on and Davante Adams goes to the Jets. The Bills get Amari Cooper. DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Chiefs. Cooper Kupp, I guess the Steelers now are kind of in the mix.
Everybody just out here playing.
The Steelers trying to get any wide receiver at this point,
they
man.
Are.
They always in the mix for a wide receiver.
Yes, I love the Steelers being abundantly clear. Like, they're like, you know how some teams try to hide their hands? I'm like, no, man. We feel good about
it. We need a receiver.
We want him. We want him. We want him. We want him.
No, man, we need it.
They out here flirting.
Who got it? Anybody got it? Hey, you got some receivers for sale, bro? I need a receiver.
Hey, they still married and out here flirting.
That's exactly.
They trying to move on.
Exactly. So, but then you have that, how they played.
Yeah.
You have these teams making moves, man. They're making moves. Then you have the need for a cornerback, the need for a safety, the need to do something with the offensive line here. And I'm like, gotta do something, don't they? I'm feeling a little bit of FOMO here. And by the way, Devin White does not necessarily satiate that.
Next question was like, can I interest you in Devin White? It's not the full, like, I know that you're kind of hungry for a move. Yeah. I was like, can I interest you in a snack of Devin White here, right?
I mean,
like, just some Devin White charcuterie to keep you satiated
sprinkle.
For a little bit. Yeah, just something on the side because the Texans have signed Devin White as of, probably about 20 minutes ago.
We got
news of that. And you say that does nothing for you in that regard. Because, I mean, it does look like you need some help linebacker-wise.
I mean, it doesn't do nothing. I think there are some possibilities there. Here's a guy that's going to be working with D'Amico Ryans.
It's like popcorn.
I like popcorn.
That's a snack at a vending machine, man, just to hold you over.
That might be it. You're starving to death. You stop at the...
Just that airy bag of chips.
You stop at the Circle K because it's still 40 minutes till you get home, and you get some, in my case, probably pork rinds, some hot pork rinds. And I'm like, that still doesn't hit the spot.
You in the waiting room and there's a vending machine right there. You starving.
Yes.
You're like, you know what? Let me just get something for here, man.
Get you some kettle chips right quick. A bag of four chips in that little bag.
Your spouse is seeing the doctor.
Let me get some Andy hot fries that have been sitting in here for 2 years.
Or those hot tamales. Those hot tamales. You get those. That's what Devin White is.
Welcome to Team Devin White.
He's a hot tamale.
He's Andy Fries. Andy Hot Fries.
He's Funyuns. He's Funyuns.
Hey, wait, hold on.
Funyuns are awful.
I like Funyuns.
Ugh.
What?
Yuck. But he's Funyuns when you really want dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't do much. Which, hey, man, that actually is, FOMO be damned, that brought up a whole different other question. Hey, man, I understand, you know, Azeez Al-Shaair is dealing with his injury with that knee. Although I feel like if it was really a problem, we would hear like a bigger deal about it, right? Maybe he goes on IR or something like that. Henry Toto, you know, we know he's dealing with a concussion. We know that's not immediately and it's something easy that you're like, okay, well, in 3 weeks he will be back, right? We'll kind of play that by ear.
No.
And right now you are dealing with Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt, who acquitted themselves fine in the course of this game, but, you know, God forbid something happened there.
Yeah.
Who else do you have? Like, it's like Delshawn Phillips, and then after that, you probably gonna have like Jalen Petrie playing linebacker as opposed to like nickel linebacker. And so you need that depth. But what that feels like is those guys aren't gonna be gone forever. Those guys will return. Mm-hmm. Those top end guys that you have linebacker wise, it feels like you going for depth is a patent acknowledgement that, hey man, Christian Harris, I don't know exactly when we get him back, and I know you were already kind of on the train that this might be way later in the season.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago.
We got people texting in saying they got $20 that we don't see Christian Harris at all in the season.
I would not take that bet. Or would I? Wait a minute. I would not take that.
No, you would not.
I would not take.
So you think we will see him?
No.
I think we will not.
He says that, yeah.
Okay.
Remember 2 weeks ago I had a confession that said, you know, this is completely irresponsible.
Yes.
But it feels like he had surgery.
Uh-huh.
It feels more so now.
Uh-huh.
It feels more so now. You get White coming in who... I mean, the guy has been a stud in this league, but it feels like ages, doesn't it? And didn't get on the field with the Eagles. Was sat out for quite a while until the Texans brought him in. Now, that's why he's Funyuns. You know, that's why he's the hot tamales or whatever, because it's like maybe there's something there with D'Amico Ryans. Maybe it's just a change of scenery.
But how quickly can that happen?
But how much can it be and how quickly?
In the midst of a season as well. And
yeah.
D'Amico Ryans, we were playing yesterday, the cut of him talking about with Vandermeer and Harris,
mm-hmm.
about how like he's, you know, coaching the coaches and like how that has to be an understanding because he can't get to the granular level coaching all the players. Well, I know we're giving him a lot of credit. And of course, he has a staff that I think you need to give credit as well, right? No one man makes all of this go. But how much can he impact? Hey, Devin Harris comes in, and as he's trying to get acclimated to the scheme and the system in and of itself, also coaching him up to make him a better player that then is effective for you if he needs to be put on the field. Like that, that might be a bridge too far to go to logically in what he is doing. And the thing that kind of scares me is, Devin White comes from the Eagles after he was you know, signed this offseason, cut a few weeks into the season, having not played a snap. And that's a team that desperately needed linebacker play.
They were
well.
Looking for linebackers. They gave him, a $4 million contract. He was looking for a $100 million contract. That's not exactly something where they had a lot of confidence that he could do it. They gave him a shot, and he never got on the field.
Yeah, and so... Like,
he's only 26.
He's 26?
He's 26 years old. Like, it's crazy.
He was like 35 years old.
Yes, bro. Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing about sports, man. You become old real fast for some reason, depending on how these things go. But yeah, I mean, I understand 936 mentions they wanted the Texans to sign Devin White in the offseason. 26, runs a 4.42, and still, last time you saw him play... Bad stopping the run.
Yeah.
Like, bad stopping the run. all that speed is cool, but I think you also got to consider the structure of what you're dealing with here in the Texans. What do they value? What do they want? And being able to impact the run, having that physicality, swarm, all of these things feel like they don't fit naturally with what he is, which again points to the idea, and we all know this. This is kind of desperation feels a little strong, but this is a little bit of a desperation move.
It's kicking the tires.
Necessity.
At minimum, it's kicking the tires and see what he's got. Now, last year I used this term a lot. I really haven't used it too much this year, but D'Amico Ryans has a knack for a little pixie dust. You know, you sprinkle a little pixie dust on a player that was maybe underperforming like White, but was young enough like White, had enough talent like White. And all of a sudden he finds a little something here. But I think the key element is something that you just mentioned. Like, that's an off-season thing. That's a training camp thing. That's a get him into the program, you know, as they say, and start working with him. We're going into week 8. This is a big ask. It's a big ask for him to step in and start doing things.
From the 337, he's a lemon head in an old box melted and stuck together. I don't know how we got to this space, but I like that you're willing to go with us, 337. I like that. I don't think I've had lemon heads.
It's been a long time. And they do stick. Yeah. Ever since he put it like that, they do stick together to each other in the box. And
are lemon heads, like, where do they rank in the hierarchy of things that you get at the vending machine? Because I can't even remember the last time I saw lemon heads.
I wouldn't get one in the vending machine. But I definitely had them as a kid, like going to the store.
Yeah.
Because there was only, 25 cent or something like that. So you could grab some. They got the lemon heads, the grape heads.
Yeah, I don't think I had none of those. I don't know. Sorry, that really distracted me. No, but back to the linebacker situation. Yeah, the thing that, and somebody was like, are we going to talk about the fact that it feels like this team is really playing kind of Jack Easterby when it comes to injuries?
Wow.
And that feels strong.
Wow. Right?
Anytime you evoke the name Jack Easterby around these parts.
Yeah, we got to fight.
Man. Fight words.
Don't compare me to Jack Easterby.
Fight words, right? So, Texter, be careful. I'm not going to, I didn't put your number out there for a reason because I know Nick Cassero will be listening and I don't want him to have to come see you. But, like, I don't love the way that they're handling, or at least the information on these injuries.
More like the Astros.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. I wouldn't take it that far. But.
Right, exactly.
No, it's not as bad as the Astros.
No, but I think that, man, someone earlier was like, is, Christian McCullers still not playing, and I was like, it's not even his fault. Like, the injury is what the injury is,
you
right?
Who?
Or what have you.
Lance McCullers.
Christian McCullers is what they said. trying to obviously compare Christian Harris to Lance McCullers, but I was like, this goes over so much different if you just get a, hey, we're not expecting him back in a little while.
Yeah.
It's taking a lot longer than we anticipated or what have you. And if we have a framework that makes it more reasonable for us in the front end, We can expect that
and
see that coming. With D'Nico Autry, nobody was like, hey, man, what's happening? I mean, of course, the suspension is different, but you knew, hey, man, week 7 is when this will come around and when we deal with that. Christian Harris, all we had was the IR after 4 weeks. We're like, all right, so what's happening there? And they're like, we'll let you know.
Okay, so that I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because really it's not like the Astros except for that one case because a lot of these injuries – you see them on the field or not. And by the way, we will see that today. The Texans take the practice field. So it's not like they're hiding that, you know, so-and-so is participating, so-and-so is not. And they've been a little more transparent with some of these things. But the one that really sort of like set people off is we'll let you know on Christian Harris. That's a definite Astros-like thing.
To me, I kind of look at that. We talked about the whole ahead of schedule type thing.
Yeah.
To me, that's the opposite.
Yeah.
To me, that's not ahead of schedule where they use stuff like we'll see because they'll never say he's behind on schedule or anything or falling back, but stuff like that means he's not ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I understand what role we play on the radio and such. If we did get a, hey, man, he's behind schedule, we get into the neurotic space of, oh, no, does this mean that Christian Harris can, like, we would get into that space.
Yeah.
I understand that,
right?
And I understand how a team would view it that way. However, I think it would be a more reasonable thing to do than, like, hey, he's behind schedule, we'll get him back, than just leaving it kind of out there and leaving the speculation and really kind of turning the conversation.
It seemed like they trying to hold out hope because I don't think they want to put him on the IR to end the season, but it seemed like they trying to hold out hope that hopefully he can come back.
I think that's exactly what it is because it has all the markings of we're not going to see him. Not only, you know, the we'll tell you, we'll let you know, but they brought in Devin White. I mean, that's Is it a desperation move? Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda. It really is.
It seemed like they waited to last minute to kind of do it, too.
Yeah.
Because I thought they would have did it early on when he was out for the first, four games.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a desperation move. At minimum, it's reflective on Christian Harris.
Yeah, of what's happening there. And so, I understand why your fear missing out when it comes to all these teams having fun going and acquiring players. Mm-hmm. It's not satiated at all with Devin White because Devin White being signed, I don't know how much he actually helps you on the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, he's a depth piece regardless, right?
Yeah.
Hewitt and Hanson have acquitted themselves pretty well.
Well enough.
Early on. But it raises more questions than it gives you answers. And so I get where that fear of missing out is coming through. Is there anything that you would like to see to kind of satiate that fear of missing out as you see wide receivers flying around from teams?
Yes, there is. And most of it might be in-house. Kamar Lassiter, please come back.
Sure.
Please return.
I don't know if you might still need a cornerback even with Kamari coming back.
Even with him, because D'Angelo Ross, if anything happens, we saw what teams are going to do. It's on tape.
On top of the fact
that... Where is he? Oh, there he is. Let's go there. You know?
I'm trying to I'm trying not to put on tape the thing that I typically say.
Yeah, the water boy?
I don't say that. I don't say that.
Where's my...
I don't say that.
Oh, there he is.
No, I definitely don't say that. I want to make that abundantly clear. I don't want nobody seeing me. We exist in these streets. Somebody can come tap your chin if they need to. You need a cornerback because also, we've already talked about the fact that as soon as Justin Jefferson got in that slot and worked you, this might be something that you need. Having another cornerback that you can give some level of coverage responsibilities if you need to, with all due respect to Jalen Petrie, would be something that'd be helpful, especially as you get, across from more of these really good teams. But for the time being, everybody else is out here making moves, including the one that we learned about today, the Kansas City Chiefs adding a known name around these parts. DeAndre Hopkins moves to, what is his fourth team in the NFL? This time the Kansas City Chiefs, and you imagine that he gives himself a good opportunity to maybe go try and get a ring up there. Oof, okay, we're getting going on a Wednesday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day as we'll have Adam Spillane to talk about the start of the Rocket season happening later today. But the question of the day actually comes back to Nick Caserio. He said that he makes his kids give away the Halloween candy, and we got to break some news to him there. But the question of the day, based off of that, what's the sneakiest thing that you've ever done that your parents never found out about? 713-572-4610.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Wednesday here in H-Town. We got a giveaway later today, right?
We had Texas Star Grill Shop.
I just realized that. I was like, Wednesday, what that mean? It means we have a giveaway. Texas Star Grill Shop, that'll happen in the 12 o'clock hour. So rock with us all through the day as we're getting ready for the Rockets opening their season this evening at 7 p.m. And also, we're starting to, this is the day where we kind of start turning the page to week 8 of football as the Texans return back home for the opportunity to widen their lead back out in the AFC South as they face off against the Indianapolis Colts. So all that happening. And the normal week progresses. Practice is going today, so we'll get a little bit of information there. But yesterday, here on Sports Radio 610, you can hear Texans All Access, right? And Caserio was played. Caserio was yesterday, right?
It's
Tuesdays that he ends up being on. And a lot of insight there. We'll break down some more of what he said. One of the things that was really interesting as we're nearing Halloween, John Harris, Mark Vandermeer asked him about the candy. And knowing Nick Caserio, apparently he's just not a candy
not
guy
at all.
Like,
no big surprise there.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Never really, would have guessed that.
Not really big.
No big surprise there. But just real quick, we have a lot. The Texans are always listening. Coaches, players, front office people.
Did you get a text?
No, they're always listening.
Okay.
Now, I'm actually encouraging them, just kind of save this segment because I'm doing I want Nick Cassero to hear this.
Oh.
I want Nick Cassero to. You know,
so if somebody in the building is listening, yeah, walk up to him and
say, hey, just put it on 610 real quick. If you, you know, just stop that trade talk and come over here and listen.
Keep doing the trade talk.
My man listening to a financial podcast.
Okay. Take off that financial podcast.
Get money.
And just listen to Lopez and Reggie and Figgy for a second here, because somebody needs to tell him.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay, so yeah, he was asked, Nick Cassero was asked if he had to eat some of his daughter's like Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
If they forced him, what candy would he eat?
My least favorite holiday. I'd probably take a shot at a Tootsie Roll. I
mean, okay.
I'd probably take like
it's
one
tough
shot.
Tough on the teeth, though. Jeez, yeah, it's the horrible, fillings, but whatever.
If I had to pick one, which I wouldn't, because usually the instructions are, you have too much candy, we have to give away more than half of it. And of course, they have a nervous breakdown. And go, no, we can't. Oh. We're going to eat it. And I said, well, just pick your spots.
Man, that's a high tax rate to give away half of it. Really?
Three quarters. Like,
yeah.
You can't eat that much candy over the course of however many weeks and months. If you want to keep your teeth.
All right. Which I have my teeth. And I've
what was that rule again?
Three quarters of their candy, he tells them they have to give it away.
There's never been a time where I've been more respectful of the journalistic integrity of John Harris when he was like, hold on, this is an injustice. 75% tax rate on the candy? Man. Those babies are being wrong.
I don't need him to be a politician.
What?
All right, everybody listen clearly.
They're not giving away 75%.
Imagine
if he was a politician.
This is not an indictment.
Your whole check, you got to give up 75% of it.
75%. This is not an indictment on you, Nick. Your heart is in the right place. This is not an indictment on your children. I'm sure, you know, you're a great person. You're disciplined.
Get to the stuff.
I'm sure it trickles down to your daughters. Somebody has to tell you, Nick. They don't do that. All right.
I don't know if they're in charge of getting the candy away, but I bet they sneaking some candy, though.
They're hiding candy. They're putting candy in their drawer, under their bed, like
the pillowcases.
Like sometimes you just got, like I've done it with my kids. You just got to tell them, hey, listen, that's not true. Okay. That's not true, Nick. They don't do that. Okay.
Yeah, and so that got us thinking.
No kid does.
What's the sneakiest thing that you did that your parents never figured out? Because it seems like the Cassero babies might be sneaking candy in a way that Nick doesn't realize. Or maybe Nick he really runs a tight ship, and they really don't get all that candy, sorry, babies.
They do. They hide it.
I'm sorry, young ones.
I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, Nick. They don't do that.
Oh. 832. Okay, see, at least we're doing some. This is good government here from 832. We let our kids have 5 to 10 pieces, but the rest they get traded for a toy.
I
hope that's a good one.
So the worst thing you ever did that you got away with and your parents never found out. I am still somewhat ashamed of this one. You know, I think I've told you, Figgy, I threw my 80-year-old grandmother under the bus.
Oh, man.
Remember that?
Yeah, I hope not literally.
So my poor Abuelita.
They looking down at from the heavens.
My poor Abuelita. I snuck out of the house. I went to a girl's house.
Of course you did.
Yada, yada, yada. I got home about 3:30 in the morning. And I went up to bed, snuck upstairs to bed, came down at 7, like I went to bed at 10 or something, you know, even though I was half asleep. Started, you know, sat down for breakfast. And my grandmother came out of her room and said, why did Johnny, call me, why did Johnny come out? She said it in Spanish. Why did Juanito come out, get home at, you know, at 4 in the morning? And I just looked at her and said, I was in bed by 11.
Which probably technically wasn't a lie. You ain't asked which bed he was in. You know?
And my dad went off.
I bet he did.
On my poor Abuelita. Why are you saying something like that? You know, he's a good boy. Oh, you know, man. He did this and this and this. He works hard, blah, blah, blah.
Woman made you tamales all the time. Sold her up the river. That's awful,
and
bro.
I just put my head down, just kept eating my breakfast. I mean, damn. She went to her grave.
You are a P.O.S. for that, man.
So nasty, bro.
Oh, man.
I don't got nothing that... My thing is, I'm growing up, I was a latchkey kid. Yeah, right? Mom's at work, and when she came back is when, you know, things happen. I just get in the house. Don't open the door for nobody.
Yeah.
Don't be on that TV. I'd be on that TV. I'd be outside. Just make sure you in before she get home. You know, she get home about 7.
Yeah.
Man, I was outside cutting up, acting a fool. And I don't think she ever. Another one that I thought of, I was gonna say, was like, you know, you get the game bought, and you know, it costs a grip to get the game bought for you. And I had the game, and I think it was a Game Boy, and I smooth lost it. But I did not want to tell her that I lost, and it was early on too.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
But I honestly don't think she might have known. Because I just wasn't playing it clearly. Yeah. But, you know, for her, it's just like, well, I bought it and that's it, right? Like, what you do with it is what you do with it. That's what it is. So I don't know if she never figured it out. She was probably just like, serves you right. Now you don't got a game.
So mine's kind of wild when you think about it. And I'm going to probably bring up some stuff in Figgy's mixtape too, kind of pertaining to this, how all over the place I was. But this was in high school. I pretty much lied to my mother and said, hey, we're going to a basketball game at the school. But we was really, me and some buddies was really going to Columbus, driving to Columbus for some girls.
You went to a whole nother
for some girls, yeah. So long story less long, the trip took longer than expected.
Yeah.
And so my mother blowing my phone up, where you at? Is the game still going on? I'm like, yeah, we about to leave now. There's a lot of traffic. Man, we were flying up 71 North trying to get. And, you know, mind you, Columbus is like.
That's a good hike.
That's like 2 hours, depending on what part of Columbus, 2.5 hours.
Yeah. My man blamed it on
so we in Columbus. Like, yeah, we leaving the school now. Man, that was. Well, I ain't get back.
Was it at least a road basketball game?
No, it wasn't. No.
A home basketball game?
It was at my school. It was at my school in Cleveland, Ohio.
They had to have known.
Yeah, no, man, I was making all type of lies up. Like, hey, we just called a flat, and we waiting on somebody to come to fix it.
Oh, my gosh.
Man. Yeah, they knew you was lying.
Yeah, I think they did.
They picked their battles.
I got back around probably like 12:30-ish, 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, no, they knew.
So, yeah, no, she ain't questioned me on it, so I don't know if she know.
Yeah, she was just like, it's not worth it.
Ron from Colorado Springs says, he used to take vodka out of the bottle and replace it with water and never got caught. And I texted him back, are you one of my kids?
Because they used to do that.
But I knew it. They thought they got away with
it. When you went and got that watered down ass vodka?
Because I drink, y'all know this, I drink vodka. And I went like, damn, Jacob, damn, BG, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I never
what
said
was the worst thing your kids did that you actually found out?
That wasn't it. I'm sure something worse.
Something where you'd be like, no, he did not just do that.
Yes, or exactly.
No,
she did not. I know there's a list. I'd have to chew on that a
while
little bit.
While you're thinking about that, from the 832, they said, the 832, they said they found out where their parents hid the N64 game for Christmas, opened it when they were out, played it, then wrapped it back up.
I did that one time.
I mean, it's about to be yours anyway, you know.
The thing is, I kind of did that. I used to shake the gifts, try to see what it is, and one day I ripped it by mistake.
Yeah.
And I just went on and opened it, and I tried to tape it back.
Yeah, on that day, you learned how to wrap gifts.
The thing is, my mother, she assumed that I seen it already. Mm-hmm. She like, if you seen it, I'm going to take it back.
Yeah.
Wow. So she scared the mess out of me. She like, I'm going to take it back.
I think this is a good one from another 832. They said, sneakiest thing was me and my brother playing ball in the house, ended up shattering the front door.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a Leave It to Beaver moment.
Right. That is when they take the commercial break. With the sad music, everybody looking at each other. But they said they got it replaced before their parents found out. He said his dad listens here as well. Sorry, Dad. That man knew. He was just like, you got it fixed and it's not my problem? Fine. All right. Because I doubt y'all got the exact same door.
Yeah. That was a sitcom moment right there,
100%,
man.
Bro. I could see that in Family Matters.
There we
right
go.
Right there. Yep. We was on the same page. You have all of it. That's perfect. That's exactly what is happening in my brain. Appreciate you, Fig.
Yeah.
From the 713, when I was in second grade, me and my best friend set a field that is 5 acres large on fire while playing with matches. Never told our parents. Several fire trucks showed up.
Oh, man.
No.
Goodness. That's...
So I thought of one. My two older sons were, one was just starting high school, the other one was in middle school. And, they had this friend that had a rent house that was still on the market for like months. So they blacked out the windows with sheets and they turned it into a club. and they would charge people to go into this house.
Good entrepreneurship. Mm.
Their high school and middle school. And so they would like park two blocks away and then drive them in and drop them off at the at the club. We found out about that one.
Yeah, I bet they did.
That wasn't pretty. Yeah. That wasn't pretty.
I kind of did something similar with a vacant school.
Yeah.
We broke into the vacant school and we're going around. And I guess some cops pulled up. So we was running in the school. We didn't know where the hell we were at. But it was like a scary movie, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up getting back home. And my parents never found that out. I would have got my butt whooped.
Ooh, I kind of like this one. They said, 281, better question is, what do your kids think they got away with, but you knew what was really going on?
Yeah, the vodka.
Oh, I want to circle back around to hear those stories. Yeah. That's the thing that I realize. Like when you get older and you watch kids lie, and you're like, oh, we were bad.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they just let us cook because mm-hmm. kids are not good liars. We think we are. We're just not. Yeah,
we're no. Just
not. All right.
No.
That's our question of the day here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get ready for the Rockets season opener versus the Hornets tonight. With our guy, Basketball Spo, Adam Spillane, he'll join us next.
Yep, Low T Center right now.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo.
Yeah, it is a Wednesday. It is 10:40, which means it's time for our guy, Adam Lane, Baseball Spo. Now Basketball Spos, we're getting ready to turn over into Rocket season. They get going tonight, 7 p.m. against the Charlotte Hornets. So it'll be fun to see that. Before we get there, I do want to pay off on the Baseball Spo of it all because, Lopez, you had something baseball-wise. You're still involved in the World Series. You've got your favorite team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, playing against the Yankees. So.
Yeah,
let's
well.
Go Dodgers!
I don't know about that.
Dodgers!
Yeah, I don't know about that, but we've been there already. Well, Spo, listen to our guy, your guy, Brian Cashman.
Wait a minute. Yeah, he doesn't have it just yet. Oh, you knocked the stuff over.
Look,
wow.
That's why I got a lid on that.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. All right.
Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year, I don't want to say drought, that's not fair, but you understand what I'm saying with the gap. How about winning the pennant? How's that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot, and I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't it completely forgets and discounts that that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing, so... I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
One for the Astros.
Boo this man.
Who do you think he was talking about?
If it wasn't for the Astros.
I mean, they lost to the Red Sox.
The Red Sox, yeah.
I mean, they've lost.
I think we know who he's talking about.
No, obviously. listen, they have the right to think that. Like, mm-hmm. in all honesty, like, they have, the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw had his thing. I think it was last week. They have the right. And mm-hmm. it's kind of the Astros' fault for people saying this. And they have to wear it. Like, they are going to have to wear this. Whatever the Yankees might have done in the past, whatever the Dodgers might have done in the past, we know what the Astros did in the past, and they just have to wear it.
No, you're right about that. The thing that always frustrates me is people in the game will let you know that this is not as uncommon as everybody tried to make it, but you get caught and you do it on this grand of a scale. Mm-hmm. You got to own it, like you said, but I do hate the people that are in the game then doing the thing where they act like they don't understand that fact of it.
Sure, for sure.
You know?
While I think most teams were doing something, I don't think most teams were doing what the Astros.
No, that's of course, doing. Absolutely.
And I think that's where people have the right to be upset about it. I can't stand the people who justify it. I just can't, and I see that all the time.
Well, you did. What about ism? What about ism drives me nuts in every realm.
Listen, they did what they did. They have to wear it. That's just how this goes.
My big thing on this when I heard it is, first of all, you're about to play a World Series.
Yeah, it's
funny. Know, you're about to play a World Series.
The pettiness is very funny.
Yes.
The pettiness with Clayton Kershaw last week, it was during the NLCS about, the Dodgers having the best 1-2, with Ohtani mm-hmm. and Betts. And Kershaw's like, Altuve and Bregman or whoever he said, except they were cheating.
And then the other thing is, and I've said this from the very start since 2019 and it all came, to air. It's never going to go away.
No.
Ever. If you think it's going to go away, you're wrong. It's never going to go away.
Yeah. And again, it's their fault.
Yeah.
They did it. They had one of their players roll on them, essentially. And that's how it is. And you just hope that, especially in the case of Altuve, because it is well known that he was really one of the guys that didn't have a whole lot to do with it. You hope that they don't have to pay the price when it comes to history, but in all likelihood, they will, and they have nobody to really blame but themselves.
All right, let's move it on to Rockets basketball that gets going tonight. First of all, I do want to circle back a little bit. Your just basic thoughts on the extensions that get done. I know that you were really a proponent of don't give them the max, which they don't end up getting, but kind of the unorthodox or maybe less than typical structure of the Jalen Green deal and then also the Alperen Şengün deal.
Yeah, I think these are the types of contracts that you give out when you have really good players who you think are part of your future, but you have leverage. And mm-hmm. that's what this was. The Rockets had leverage because of restricted free agency, and they did not give in. And they kind of say, I'm not going to say they signed them to the terms that they wanted, but they didn't go as far as, say, Detroit did with Cade Cunningham or Cleveland did with Evan Mobley or Orlando did with Franz Wagner, and even Orlando giving Jalen Suggs $150 million. Like, mm-hmm. I thought both of these contracts were very fair. Obviously, the shorter term for Jalen Green gives him an opportunity. If he pops off and becomes an all-star, then he's able to get into the market a little bit earlier. And then Şengün locks in $185 million.
Which but it also protects the Rockets, in a sense, if Jalen Green doesn't necessarily work out.
They're still locked into 3 years. Now, I don't...
But it's more of a... And I've said this, and maybe I'm just flat wrong on that. I just think it's a more movable contract.
No, it is.
Yeah.
It is a very tradable contract. Like, yeah. let's say Green has somewhat similar to a season. You know, he takes a couple of steps forward
yeah.
to what he did last year. And let's say Phoenix just craters, and you want to go get Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
This deal, I think it makes it easier to have Jalen Green as like part of that trade if they yeah. ever want to go in that direction. So I think that for them, for both sides, it works out. You don't have to worry about this anymore. You know, it's not something that as a player you have to be stressed out about what your future looks like. And I also want to give credit to Alperen Şengün just for the work that he put in the maturity that he's shown the last couple of years. This is a guy who was supposed to be a starter. He was supposed to be the starting center going into his second NBA season. Came into camp out of shape. He was really bad in training camp. Somebody with the team told me he was the worst player in the entire world during that training camp. They benched him for a couple of games to kind of send him a message. And you've seen him, the way that he's come into camp the last 2 years, he really got that message. And it's kind of shown just like what he's done on the floor.
So as you head into this game versus the Hornets, I know yesterday you were at practice and Jalen Green put an interesting kind of timeline on, like, hey, these next four games are going to be really insightful. What are you hoping to see from this Rockets team in the first four games of the season?
Well, judging by who they play, they should, if they're serious, like if they are serious about wanting to be a playoff team, they should win all four games. And, you know, you have Charlotte today. That's a game that you should win. Like, correct. if you believe you are the playoff team that you want to be, this is a game you have to win. Memphis on Friday. I don't know. Memphis a little, they're a little banged up. I don't know if Jaren Jackson will be able to play. But that's a game. If you want, that's one of the teams that you're competing with for a play-in spot, for a playoff spot in the West. Like, that's a game that you should win at home. And then two games against San Antonio, again, the Spurs are a team that they might be trying to win. They might not be trying to win. But those are two games that you should be able to win if you are really serious about being a playoff team.
One thing I'm looking at, and I want to get your thoughts, is, you know, if they're serious, they become a better road team. They mature and become a team that on the road can kind of withstand, they not be as wide-eyed or whatever it was that led to their road troubles. I mean, that's kind of where the season's going to be determined, isn't it?
Well, you got to take care of your home court, and then you've got to be passable on the yeah. road. And that's where they, I don't remember what it was at the start of last year, but they were really bad on
they
the
were
road
bad.
At the start of last season. It did get better as the season went along. I don't know. That's one of those things that you don't really know why mm-hmm. it happens. Like, why are the Astros so bad at home during the playoffs? I don't know. It's just one of those things. Maybe it's a routine thing. Maybe it's a youth thing. But yeah, that's obviously, you can't be, you're going to lose some games on the road. You're going to play good teams on the road, and you're probably going to lose those games. But you got to be able to beat the bad teams on the road. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to beat the teams that aren't expected to contend on the road. And that's what they weren't really doing last year, at least early on.
You put up a good piece yesterday on Sports Radio 610 about how the Rockets are really looking to Reed Shepherd to help, take on some of the responsibility that Fred VanVleet has almost shouldered single-handedly mm-hmm. in kind of keeping this team organized. Because if you can feel the distinct difference when Fred VanVleet is not the one running the show on the floor. I know that it's crazy early. We haven't even gotten to see him in regular season games. How much responsibility do you think is a fair ask of Reed Shepherd, and what do you think it might look like tonight and early on?
Well, the way that they've been playing it early so far, at least the last couple preseason games, is that Shepherd and Amen Thompson are the first two guys that normally will come off the bench. And it will be Shepherd playing alongside Fred VanVleet early.
Mm-hmm.
And then when VanVleet goes out, it's Shepherd who runs the offense. So he kind of gets to get his feet wet a little bit in the game where he's not running the offense. I think they really like Shepherd and VanVleet together, even though defensively it's not great. But offensively, both guys can handle the ball. Both guys can play off the ball. So I think you're going to see that. And then they want Shepherd, I think, to run the offense when VanVleet is out. And it's really important that the offense survive when that happens, because they leaned on VanVleet, I think, a lot more than they wanted to last year. You look, he played 37 minutes a game. That's the second highest number of his career. He had 19 games last year where he was playing more than 40 minutes. That matched a career high. They don't want to lean on him like that. And they had to, because when he went to the bench, they were bad. And when he did not play, they were bad. The first six games that he missed last year, they were 1-6 in those games. They won the last two games at the end of the year that he missed because they were playing against a couple teams that weren't trying to win. So they need to be able to withstand the minutes when he's not there, and they need to be able to withstand the games when he's not there, because you can't go 1-6 mm-hmm. when he doesn't play. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself on the outside looking in again.
Who has to make the biggest leap?
For me, I think it's probably Jalen Green.
Maybe not counting Jalen Green. That's pretty much an obvious one. Everybody's going to be watching, like, mm-hmm. outside of Jalen Green.
Probably maybe Jabari Smith, just because he's going to start, and it's obviously a big year for him. He's the guy who's eligible for an extension going into next summer.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see a little bit more consistency out of him both ends of the floor. And then maybe Amen Thompson. I think Amen Thompson probably has the highest ceiling out of any of their guys. It's just, can he become passable as a shooter?
Yeah.
Whether it's the three-point shot or even the free throws. Like, he didn't shoot free throws well in preseason. You can't have it to where he's, like, afraid to get fouled, because he's good at so many other things. Really good defender. The athleticism is just off the charts, but the shooting is the one thing that kind of holds him back right now.
What's the particular thing or two that you're looking at in this particular game tonight against the Hornets?
I just want to see the offense. I think that this is going to be a really good defensive team. I think they were a top 10 defense last year. They were a bottom 10 offense. I want to see if they can get into the top half of the league in offensive efficiency, just because that's the next step for them, is to be a passable offense. It looked okay in preseason, but now you want to see it, like, on a regular season stage. Can they move the ball? Can they hit open shots? Can they just look like a better offense than they did last year?
Yeah, and we have that. You'll keep your eyes on that. I'll also keep my eyes on that tonight, 7 p.m. Toyota Center. The Rockets get going on another season, and it starts tonight. So excited for that. Thank you, Spo. Appreciate you always joining us and having great insight into the Astros, the Rockets, baseball, all of that, man.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, sir. That's Adam Spillane. Check him out. Sports Radio 610 as well on the sportsradio610.com. He's writing some good pieces that kind of give you some, keep you insight, or keep you looking at the Rockets in the right way, I think. All right, coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including, let's dive more into the DeAndre Hopkins trade, plus is Mike Evans out? How long is he out for the Buccaneers? What might that mean? We'll talk about that and more next.